So I grew up around music. My mom and dad were, listening to music nonstop in the car, in the house. So I was always surrounded by it. I can remember being like even 2 years old. There's video of me playing "We Will Rock You" in the bathtub singing. So it's something that was always of interest to me. When I was like 8 or 9 years old, I really got into Metallica, and I wanted to learn to play guitar so that I could play Metallica songs like Enter Sandman and all the stuff off the Black Album. It was like my favorite album at the time. And I just started playing guitar when I was 9 or 10 and fell in love with it and never put it down. And that just kind of kickstarted my journey.
So if I understood well, you're more a guitar player who had at some point in your career to sing, or why did you decide on top of playing guitar to get behind the mic?
To sing as well. So I always loved to sing. It was just something that was always fun for me. But growing up, my two favorite bands were Metallica and Green Day, and especially those were my two favorite frontmen, James Hetfield and Billy Joe Armstrong. And watching them perform and how they both were, singers and guitar players, always excited me, and it was just something that I wanted to kind of do myself as well.
Right, and when you're on stage, it's not an extra element of pressure on yourself to manage both the playing and singing at the same time.
Not really, because on stage, like, I'm not really thinking about either one. Like, I'm not thinking about singing, or I'm not thinking about playing. I'm just like, my focus is entertaining the audience and getting the crowd involved and making sure everyone's having a good time. Like the guitar, and especially the guitar, just is second nature. It's just something that kind of happens while I'm performing. So it's not like any added pressure to me.
Basically, what was the idea or your main project when you decided to start a track with Diamond in 2 years ago?
With becoming in Diamond Met.
Yes, and why first the meeting and after that why you decided to work together in the band?
So I actually met Diamond in the 7th grade. We were about 12 years old, I think. And we went to a small little private school in Atlanta together. And she knew that only me and another one of my friends were like the only two kids at the school that listened to hard rock and metal. And she was just getting into it at that time. So she introduced herself to us, and a friendship started from there. And we realized we liked a lot of the same music and hung out all of the time. And in terms of her and me joining a band together, I was jamming with our friend Tyler, who was our very first drummer way back in the day. And he told me at school one day that Diamond was playing guitar a lot and wanted to come try out for our band. And myself, like an idiot, said to him, "I don't want a girl in the band." I was like 13 years old. And then he convinced me to just let her come over and jam together. And as soon as we got in the same room and we played a song together, I knew immediately that she had to be in this band and that I had to, be in a band with her, because it was just undeniable, like chemistry, and just we had so much fun doing it. So we've really been playing together in Tetrarch since the beginning. It's the only band we either of us have ever been in, and we've really just grown together.
All right. Okay, makes sense. If we come back a little in the past, around the period with the Freak, your first album, which was a self-release in 2018, is there a key event or a key souvenir in your mind that rise when you think about this period around Freak?
Absolutely. We were just coming off of a couple year stretch where we were kind of stalled. We hadn't really done a whole lot. We were playing local shows in Atlanta. We had done an EP that we liked okay, but it just never really felt like true to who we were. And I just remember when we got to LA, we started writing for Freak when we moved there. And we didn't limit ourselves in terms of what we wanted to write, what style we wanted to write. We didn't put ourselves in a box. And I can just remember one day in particular, I was out somewhere and Diamond was at home at the apartment writing some riffs. And she texted me and said, "Hey, I don't know if we'll be able to use this or not, but I don't know if it's too different, but check this riff out." And I heard it and it was this low tune, drop A, just heavy riff. And it was the main riff for what would become our song Spit on Freak. And I called her immediately. I was like, "This is amazing. Keep going with this." And that just really opened up the door for us to just try anything and everything. And that was kind of like the catalyst for Tetrarch's sound kind of shifting and starting to meld into starting to like form into what it is today.
Okay. So for the new album Unstable, you signed with Napalm Records. How did you end up working with these guys?
So we have been independent for a long time and we really liked it that way because we were able to just make a lot of noise by ourselves. And we always said, you know, when the right offer comes and the right fit for a label comes, we'll know and we would go with somebody. So after I'm Not Right came out, we released that independently in May of 2020. The song was doing really, really well at radio, on metal radio. YouTube views were crazy on it. And, you know, of course, naturally, we were approached by a ton of different labels and each wanted to talk to us. But with Napalm, we felt like they really saw our vision as a band of wanting to be a worldwide, you know, known band. And we felt like they could really help enhance all the things we had already done by ourselves and get our music heard and seen by even more people. So ultimately, it just came down to that we thought that they were just the right fit and saw the same vision that we did.
But so does it mean that when you signed with Napalm, you had the album was already fully recorded and you had the finished product?
Yep, we had the finished product ready to go. We've had that, like I would say, we had the whole Unstable album has been sitting on my phone since January of 2020. So we've been sitting on it a long time and it's been really hard not to just like put it all out there. But we just had to make sure the timing was right with the pandemic and trying to figure out when was best to put it out. So we've had it sitting there for a long time.
I think you already answered my next question would be, so if I understood, there is no impact on the current pandemic on the album music-wise or lyrics-wise because it was finished before the whole thing started.
Exactly. Yeah. Like it was pretty crazy how it happened. I mean, we finished and got the masters in our hands in February, I think, of 2020. Mm-hmm. And then we shot the I'm Not Right music video in LA, I think March 7th, which was about 3 or 4 days before the whole state and everything shut down. So we just barely got everything done for that right before the shutdown. So it was kind of just, we lucked out in terms of, you know, getting some of that stuff done while everything was still open.
Yeah, so the real impact for you is the impact, put to 2021 all the release, all the promotion around the album, basically.
Yes, that's what the pandemic definitely changed for us because we had planned to put the album out in the summer of 2020. Mm-hmm. But I'm Not Right was doing really well and we didn't want to rush the music out because we knew that if we put the album out too early at the start of the pandemic, like it would just get swallowed up and, you know, probably forgotten pretty quickly. So we just wanted to hold on to it and keep growing as a band and gaining new fans from I'm Not Right and from our radio play and things like that. And really what kind of went on hold, though, was just being able to play live shows. That's what affected us the most, because we didn't want to put out music and not be able to go support it on the road.
Okay. So what's the, within the band, what's the process to create a new song?
It usually starts with, typically it's me or Diamond will, you know, come up with a guitar riff or a verse part, or sometimes it's a whole song layout with, you know, programmed drums and guitars and things like that on it. And we just kind of bounce ideas back and forth off of each other, and kind of put a bare bone skeleton together for a song. And then obviously we have Ryan and Ruben come in as well while we're writing and really add their own touch with like the drums and the bass and really turn it into the Tetrarch sound. But it usually starts with me or Diamond, usually sitting on our computer, just kind of playing around on guitar or just coming up with random stuff.
So there's a pre-work for presenting the idea to the other guys, maybe jamming, see how it sounds and tweak the whole thing, or you do a change file, or both?
We do a little bit of everything, but it's typically we'll go, you know, to everyone and say, hey, here's some stuff we've been working on. Let's jam these together and see which ones kind of feel good to play. Because something that's important to us is anything that we put down in the studio, we want to be able to recreate that live. So we don't try to go too crazy with like electronics and layers and things that we can't recreate. So we like to pick songs that we think are going to do good in a live setting, because that's like our most important thing to us, is getting in front of an audience and being able to entertain and put on a good show.
On Unstable, is there bits and pieces you could have used on Freak, or you started from scratch?
Which one was that? Sorry.
For the songs from Unstable, the 10 songs of Unstable, did you build on some bits and pieces you had already at the for the Freak period, or you started from scratch?
We started from scratch actually for this one. We had a lot of old riffs and things that we had worked on, but I just remember when we were going through some of that stuff when it was time to write the new album, none of it was really catching our ear as being exciting and new sounding and fresh to us. So it was just easier for us to start from scratch and just start writing. I know I'm not right. The music for that instrumental was the kicking off point for the album. And it was the first kind of riffs we wrote, the first song structure we made. And it's pretty funny to know that after all the songs we wrote after that, it still ended up being, you know, the first one we released and did really well for us.
And you know, with your experience, do you think that this first song, which was written for the album, one way or the other, colored the other songs? It was kind of a starting point?
Possibly. So we actually had the album almost was like an 11-song album. We had tons and tons and tons of songs, but we were going to go with 11. But then as we were getting it mixed and mastered, we just felt like that 11th song wasn't up to par with the rest of the album. So we just ended up going with the 10 songs that you hear on Unstable. Now we do have a lot of riffs and songs that we can go look at again, you know, when it's time to write the next one. But, you know, it just depends where our mindset is and our headspace when we go to write, if we want to revisit old ideas or if we just want to start fresh.
Just for the anecdote, do you still have to provide a bonus track for Japan?
We actually did not do bonus tracks, because we felt like if a song wasn't what we deemed strong enough to be on the album, we don't necessarily want to have it, you know, floating around out there as like a bonus. So, you know, if we ever do kind of bonus material, it'll probably be a brand new song or a cover or, you know, something different like that. But we haven't used any of the unused songs yet.
Okay. Can you tell us, General, how did the recording session went for Unstable?
Yeah, it was a really, it was a smooth process, honestly. We recorded it with the same producer who did Freak, Dave Otero, in Denver, Colorado. You know, he's known as kind of a death metal producer. He does like bands like Cattle Decapitation and Allegiant and Archspire and things like that. But we had worked with him in the past. He had mixed some songs for us and he had produced Freak. And we knew he had just a really comfortable environment to work in. And we spent about 4 months in Colorado at his studio. You know, we did obviously like the drums and everything first at a separate studio with him just to get a really big live drum room. But everything else we did at Dave's studio there in Colorado.
For the lyrics, when you enter studio, everything is written and you don't change anything, or you allow you to modify in real time some of the lyrics of the song?
It's a little bit of both. A lot of we never limit ourselves. Like, we go in as prepared as we can with the songs and have them as close to how we think they should go before we get there. But once we get to the studio, we're there to enhance it, and we want to make sure we're making sure that every riff is the exact right riff, that every lyric is the right line, that the melodies are strong. So there's definitely a lot of creative energy that we use in the studio. It's not just like a, you know, go down and put what we already have. It is very much a creative environment.
Also, key element for an album is the cover artwork. How did you work this image for the cover artwork for the album?
Yeah, so the album artwork was something that we came up with the artist. He sent us a couple ideas. We wanted something that represented unstable and kind of felt uneasy to look at. And we saw the photo of the kid, and just the look in his eye and everything was very just kind of like, it just looked unstable to us. And then there's like the doctor who's got his hand on the kid's shoulder, and the artist, when he explained it to us, was saying, you know, it was kind of a vibe of like, who is really the unstable one? Is it the kid, or is it coming from the doctor who's, you know, maybe doing weird things, like in terms of you know, messing with the kid's head or just like something like that? Like, it's kind of open to interpretation on who is unstable in that photo. And then we wanted to bring in some like brain scan images and artwork like that, that just kind of helped enhance that idea of someone being unstable.
So time is running out. So my last questions would be, what are your hopes and expectations for Tetrarch for the coming month?
Yeah, we're just really excited to get this album out. It's coming out April 30th. And it seems like, you know, all signs are pointing to, at least over here in the U.S., shows being able to start happening again towards the middle of the summer to the fall. So we're really excited to be able to hopefully get out there and promote this album on the road and just keep growing as a band. You know, we have the ultimate goal of, we've said since day one, like, we want to be one of the biggest hard rock and metal bands that are in the world, and we're going to work hard every single day until we can make that happen. So this is just the next step in that, is getting this album out and you know, being able to promote it on the road and see all our fans again and meet a lot of new ones.
Do you imagine summer festivals, or you know, maybe a tour as a headliner, or?
It's going to be a mixture of both. We have so many different kind of opportunities on the table, and it's just figuring out which are the best ones and which ones are likely to happen. It's just so hard to say exactly what kind of shows are going to be allowed. You know, if festivals will come back first and people will just be spaced out, you know, socially distanced, or if club, you know, shows and 2,000, 3,000 cap venues, if those come back first, we just don't know. So we have a lot of offers on the table, and we're just trying to plan strategically to, you know, have the most impact that we can when we can go back out on the road.
And just the very last one, do you hope to be able to come to Europe before the end of the year?
We hope by the end of the year. I know it seemed like there was some virus-like flare-ups going on in some of the countries over there right now. So we're just, we're very hopeful because we're really excited. And that's one thing also that drew us to Napalm is that they have very strong footing in Europe as they're, you know, in based out of Austria. And we're really looking forward to working with them and getting overseas and be our first time over there. So we're really excited to get to Europe.
All right. Thank you very much, Josh. It was a real pleasure.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
And so hope once again, so Unstable sounds great, and hope to see you on stage, and on stage in Europe, it would be even better.
Absolutely. We cannot wait.
Take care and see you soon. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you.